Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And welcome to our favorite things. You know the drill at this point.
Yeah.
I surprise Kevin. Kevin surprises me. But before we do that, Kevin, how was your week? How's life?
It's good. You know, I'm finishing up the production of Cabaret that we're doing at my the school that we both teach at.
Yes.
New York Film Academy's Musical Theater Department. And it's going really well. We're having a good time.
Yeah?
It's a beautiful little show.
Is it?
I love Cabaret.
Which version is this? Is this...
We're actually... We got the 98 revival rights.
So there's no Miskite. There's no...
No. And there's no...
I'm sitting pretty. That's
yeah, that's the
that's
one.
That's it. Yeah. I want to thank the listeners who are yelling at us right now that are actually singing the song. And they're two verses ahead of us, so I'm sorry. We'll play catch up.
We'll sing it at Marie's Crisis later tonight.
I love me a good Marie's Crisis.
Oh, come on. Always.
Who doesn't love Marie's Crisis? So that sounds like that's going well.
Yeah. You know, and I'm playing keys in the orchestra, and it's really... I really enjoy it. It's really
awesome.
A fun score. I love the music to Cabaret.
Who doesn't love the music to Cabaret?
I mean,
maybe people don't like the music to Cabaret. I don't know. Is there anyone
if you
out there?
Do, let us know.
If you don't like Cabaret, on your iTunes, there's a button that says unsubscribe, and you can click that right now. And we'll call it a day. And we wish you the best of luck. It's you. It's not us. It's the worst breakup thing you could hear.
How was your week?
Good. I just finished this amazing book that I hope all of our listeners pick up. It's by Ileana Douglas.
Okay.
And it's called I Blame Dennis Hopper. Do you know who Ileana Douglas is?
No. How?
If you saw her, you'd be like, I totally know her. She's a very famous character actress. But her big thing was in the late 80s, early 90s, she was dating Martin Scorsese. So she shows up in Goodfellas and she shows up in a whole bunch of his movies. But musical theater fans, you might know her if you've seen a documentary called Pittsburgh with Jeff Goldblum. Have you ever seen this?
No, I'm writing it down.
Okay. So it's not my favorite thing. I should tell you that right now.
Okay.
But Pittsburgh is a documentary about Jeff Goldblum, and he's dating a woman who's Canadian. She needs to stay in the country, and he gets her a job at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera, where she is going to play Marion in The Music Man, and he is going to play The Music Man opposite her. And that gives her enough weeks to stay in the country. So that's the deal they make with Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera, that Jeff Goldblum will be Harold Hill in The Music Man. And what Jeff Goldblum also promises is that he'll get some of his celebrity friends to be a part of it as well. So Ed Begley Jr. signs on as Mayor Shin, and Ileana Douglas signs on as Mrs. Shin.
This is all real.
All
this
real.
Like, all
and
happened.
Richard Sibelico directed it, and it's a documentary. And
they made the documentary of it.
And they made the documentary, and it's called Pittsburgh.
Wow.
But she's in it as Mrs. Shin, and she's very funny. Anyway, so the absolutely wonderful, fantastic book, and I encourage everybody to pick it up and read it, because it's a light read, and it's really wonderful. How's that
sounds
for a
like
recommendation?
Fun. Yeah, yeah.
See Pittsburgh, so you can watch Jeff Goldblum as the creepiest Harold Hill. Oh, Jim Walton from Merrily,
yeah,
is in it. It's bizarre. It's a really bizarre production. And God bless Richard Sibelico, because he is trying to get a performance out of Jeff Goldblum.
And they actually get. Oh, because I actually think that's not bad casting, because he's charismatic. And,
but he
you
plays
know.
It very like private and really really creepy and stuff. And
no.
Richard Sibelico is like, you're ruining the show. He just says it basically to him and goes, you're really ruining the Music Man. I'm like, that's a way to give a direction. I love it.
And I think it's a great, if you're not an actor or a director, to see the inside of what happens on the inside of the, you know, in the room where it happens.
Yeah,
you know, to see what a rehearsal process is
thank
like.
Thank you for
if
that
you
Hamilton shout out.
Yeah,
I got
it from Ted Chapin. When he did it, I was like, all right.
I
want to
be in the room where it happens. Kevin, what is your favorite thing for us?
All right, picture it. March 5th, 1962 is opening night. I know you're already going in your head with all the shows.
Oh. No.
Go. Guess.
No.
Already.
I think I'm wrong.
All right. It won the Tony for best score.
Not and Mr. President.
Nope.
No, I'm
no, no.
So behind.
This is a famous, famous composer who was writing with himself for the first time.
Oh, No Strings.
Yeah, that's right,
it's
my
No
friend.
Strings.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank
Richard
you very
Rogers.
Much. Thank you very
Richard
much.
Richard Rogers. Oscar Hammerstein passed away in 1960, and so Richard Rogers wrote this little, I think this charming, charming musical. It's about a fashion model Diane Carroll, who is living in Paris. She meets and falls in love with an expat American who's there, played by Richard Kiley, one of my all-time favorite musical theater
Don
actors.
Quixote,
I mean, like, he's truly, truly special. And he's in Paris because he's from Maine. He's got writer's block. He goes there to try to, like, you know, shake it up a little bit. They meet. They fall in love. But as things turn out, he doesn't get inspired, and he realizes he needs to go back to Maine to write, and so they part ways with no strings attached. So there you go. Also really cool about this show is that they're literally were no strings in the orchestra. I mean, violin, cello, and most orchestra pits had strings in them. That was a standard that your orchestrations would have that. But Richard Rodgers always reinventing himself. I mean, this man is like, nearing the latter part of his career, you know, his most, you know, his big partnership over. But I love that he's still reinventing himself. So he doesn't use Robert Russell Bennett for the orchestrations. This is, listeners, you know, those big King and I and South Pacific orchestrations that are used to hearing with strings. You know, he decides to go a different direction, and he hires a man named Ralph Burns to do the orchestrations. So there are no string instruments. There is a harp and there is a guitar, but no classic string instruments.
You might talk about this, but what else did Ralph Burns do? Because everyone is so familiar with his work, whether or not they realize
I'm going to look it up.
Oh, Chicago.
Jazzy. All that jazz stuff. Known for jazzy, syncopated, heavy on the reed instruments being saxophones and clarinets and stuff like that. So in this show, there were eight reed players, meaning that they had eight players, and they doubled everything. So you had they played alto sax and tenor sax and clarinet. So you had something like 64 different combinations of instrumentation in this show, in addition to a couple trumpet players and other. And they were on stage. It was one of the first Broadway musicals to have the orchestra actually be on stage.
That's incredible.
Which I find fascinating. The show we could say is a hit because it ran for like something like 580 performances. So about a year.
That's a hit.
Yeah, that's good. That's, you know, in the 60s, we're so used to seeing shows like Hello, Dolly! And Fiddler on the Roof last years and years. But this is a Richard Rodgers. And Richard Rodgers wrote the lyrics. So he wrote his own lyrics. It's the only show where he wrote the lyrics. I think after this, he probably was like, well, I need a collaborator again. And he collaborated with Stephen Sondheim, actually.
And they went to Do I Hear a Waltz?
Do I Hear a Waltz, right. But this this score... So what fascinates me about this show, and was controversial a little bit at the time, Diane Carroll, African-American. Richard Kiley, white. In 1962... This is the civil rights movement's going on, and interracial couple is a big deal. But what made it kind of controversial, and today it wouldn't be, that they didn't comment on in the show. It was not about them being black and white. In fact, they said that you could have any woman play the white. I mean, play the lead female, the model.
Yeah,
and it didn't matter. So they were casting it for the best. You know, Richard Rodgers saw Diane Carroll and was like, "That's it. She's the lady." But at the time, they wanted it to be about that. So he was a little ahead. He was ahead of his time. I mean, once again, Richard Rodgers was pushing the envelope a little bit.
Always. I always hate when Rodgers and Hammerstein have that reputation of, oh, they're so saccharine, they're so sweet, they're so benign. I mean, you look at things like No Strings, or you look at things, you know, like Carousel or
even in South
Allegro.
Pacific, you've got to be carefully
taught. I
hate
that reputation that they have.
Yeah.
Because it's so unwarranted and
unjustified.
No.
They always push the envelope. When you listen to this score, you can't help but tap your toes. You hear all these jazz orchestrations by Ralph Burns, and it's thrilling. It's really exciting. And then, so if you were to go check out some songs, I would say,
please,
listen to The Sweetest Sounds. That's one of the opening number. And I know the song very well, but when you put the context of it, that this is a man who is writer's block and he really believes that he's got something more to say to this world but doesn't know how to say it. I mean, that song completely embodies that idea.
Yeah.
There's an old clip, a black and white, I think she's on the Ed Sullivan Show. Diane Carroll sings Loads of Love, and you get to see all the choreography and everything. And she's special.
She is special. And I love those Ed Sullivan things. He had just about every single Broadway musical from that time period on there, and they would have a long amount of time.
Oh yeah, like 10 minutes worth of material.
And stuff that he was really creating an archive that nobody was even thinking about, because you can go on there, you can look at things from Pickwick and Walking Happy and all these shows that nobody remembers anymore, and you go,
I love you said Pickwick.
I don't know why that one came to me.
Walking Happy.
You know, two classics.
Chucha or something, but
I impress my husband all the time with my knowledge of obscure musical theater. He's nodding his head in the background.
And yes, he is.
Sobbing quietly to himself. So no strings.
Yeah, I really, really, really love this score. It just makes me really happy. And I like things that make me happy.
Do you think it'll ever be revived? Or could it be revived?
I think it could be revived. I would like to read the book and see how well it is. Encores did it in like 2003 with James Naughton.
Yes, and I don't know who played opposite
him. Honestly don't remember.
I'm going to say Vanessa Williams, and I could be wrong.
But she would be great today.
Do we have a crack?
I think we need a little. I think she's got to be a little younger, but I would like to see it revived. I would love to hear the score again. It's a little chestnut. It's special, and it's Richard Rodgers. It's musical theater legendary.
Don't need any string players.
Now, get rid of them.
Don't
just give me some eight reed players who can like play 25 instruments each.
Great. If you're a reed player, if you could email Kevin David Thomas and let him know that you're interested in his production of No Strings. No Strings at the Mark Hellinger Theater.
Oh.
they're going to get rid of the church for a little bit.
But you can still go in that church. And, I mean,
can you really?
They keep their doors open. Yeah, and you can go in. And the theater is still, still beautiful. And it's,
wow.
You see all the glass above you. I mean, I recommend going in that church, even if you're not a churchgoer, but just to look at the old theater on 49th Street?
49th Street? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. Because that theater is really stunning.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, I want to go now.
I know.
Mostly because there's a McDonald's next door, and I know
Amen.
That's where I can get my Big Mac. All right.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So
what's yours, my friend?
Oh my gosh. I have to tell you, I was just reading a couple of days ago Ethan Mordden's One More Kiss.
Oh, I like his books.
If you don't know who Ethan Mordden is, you should know who Ethan Mordden is. He wrote a book for every decade from 1920 up until like 2000 or so that celebrates the American musical theater and goes into detail in what musicals came out in that decade and what trends. The 70s one is called One More Kiss. So I've been reading that. So I'm going to warn our viewers, the next couple of my favorite things are going to be mostly 70s related.
Great.
So get out your bell bottoms, get out your love beads, get out your mood ring, and let's get groovy.
Let's go tie-dye.
So here is mine. This musical fascinates me. It's by the great composing team of Walden and Britten. Yes, I know. It's a popular choice.
I'm literally like glazed over.
This is a musical from 1973, and it won the Tony Award for Best Musical, based on a very famous play by Lorraine Hansberry.
Raisin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The musical Raisin, based on Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. Thank you. I appreciate
I didn't know that was
that.
The songwriting team. What's their names again?
You'll love this. Their names are Walden and Britten.
Not Benjamin Britten.
No, not Ben, who came back from the dead to write Raisin the Musical. That's the one thing he wanted to do. And then he went back to heaven. It was like Carousel. He didn't want to slap his daughter. He wanted to write Raisin the Musical. Judd Walden and Robert Britten were these two guys who were put together in the BMI workshop.
BMI workshop was Lehman Engel, the famous music director. He created a place, an avenue for writers to get together, and it still exists.
It still exists, and most of them are there. Most composers go through that.
and you had a place to share your work and critique it, and other writers.
And so they were put together as a composing team.
Wow.
And they were like, what do we want to adapt? And they said, what about Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun? So if you don't know A Raisin in the Sun, the play, I don't know what's wrong with you, because you should know it. I mean, that sounds so
shame.
Horrible. Shame on you. Hit unsubscribe. Read the play and then come back and hit subscribe. if you don't know Raising the Play, it's the story of an African-American family that's living in Chicago. The father of the family passes away. There's an insurance check coming in. And the question is, what are they going to do with the money? The mom wants to take the money and buy a house in an all-white neighborhood and get out of the apartment that they're living in. And the oldest son wants to take the money and open up his liquor store and become his own man. It's a wonderful play. It's been revived countless
times.
Was
that the P. Diddy part?
Sean,
just making sure.
P. Diddy
Sean Combs. Who did it in the revival?
Puff Daddy slash.
Right, with Audra.
Who, I don't know if this is a true story. This is one of those allegedly things I'm going to tell you. Is that when they were doing the revival, his acting left something to be desired.
Oh.
So the director realized that the best way for him to have an emotional moment was to cross upstage to a window and have his back to the audience. And that would it would look like he was just thinking and in contemplation, but it was really obscuring the fact
that's good
that
direction.
He did not know how to handle the moment. That is what I heard allegedly. I don't know if that's true, but obviously Sean Combs will tweet us because I'm sure he's listening to this right now. So this composing team of Walden and Britten, Richard Rodgers was interviewed. Richard Rodgers, oh my God, we didn't even realize it. They asked him in the 70s, they said, what composers and teams do you admire now? And he said, oh, Walden and Britten, never wrote anything else ever again together. This was it. The book was by Lorraine Hansberry's husband, her husband. She had passed away by the time. And so it comes out in the same season as Over Here and Seesaw, which obviously are not great landmarks of the American musical theater. And it wins the Tony Award for Best Musical. But now here's the most interesting thing. The reviews for this musical are fantastic. Clive Barnes of the New York Times at the time said, it's perhaps even better than the play.
What?
And Raisin is one of those unusual musicals that should not only delight people who love musicals, but might also well delight people who didn't. And here's the cast. Ready for the cast?
Yeah.
Joe Morton, who recently just won an Emmy Award for Scandal.
Yeah, and he's doing something right now off Broadway.
Yeah, Dick Gregory.
Yes, that's right, which I hear is amazing. Yeah.
Virginia Capers played the mom. Ralph Williams from the TV show Good Times.
Oh.
Played the little boy. Debbie Allen was the sister. And Helen Martin from 227. Do you remember Helen Martin?
She would hang out. 227.
She would hang out the window.
Yes.
Pearl Shea.
Of course.
The little sassy comments. and Ernestine Jackson. So anyway, this was the cast. Now, apparently, I know people who saw the show and they said the show itself wasn't all that wonderful. It was the cast that made the show great. Mm. And they had fostered this ensemble sense in the musical theater community. And that's what helped get the show over to the Tony Awards for the Best Musical Committee. They said the acting covered up a lot. I listened to the score yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing score.
I
really do. The opening number for Walter Lee is a great song called Man Say. It's a little misogynistic now, but I still think it's a great song. Sidewalk Tree, which is about the environment outside the apartment, is wonderful. And the big song that comes from it is the song that the mother sings to a flower called A Whole Lot of Sunlight, which is the flower that she has in her crappy apartment, never gets any sunlight on it. But when they move to this house where there will have a garden, the flower will be able to grow. I was looking at all the things that won Best Musical in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Only three have never been revived on Broadway. Applause, Two Gentlemen of Verona, and Raisin. Although Two Gentlemen went to Central Park a few years ago. They did a musical version of that.
Oh, that's right.
And Applause was at Encores a few years ago. But Raisin has never had any major
revival. Isn't that crazy?
And
the source material is so known, too.
And I think the source material is so, it's even today prevalent.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm surprised that it has not come back, and I'm curious as to why it has not come back either at Encores. There was supposed to be one in 2003. They got started in L.A. with Nell Carter. She was going to play the mother, and she passed away the night before they went into tech rehearsals. So my pick for this episode is Raisin, 1973.
Really good one.
Tony Award winner for Best Musical. I think the score is fantastic. I think the score is great, and I think there's a lot of stuff there that people should be tapping into. And I don't know why these guys, they never wrote anything after this.
I wonder what they did. Yeah, that's just
wild. I did some research. There was really nothing. There was really nothing. They did a couple like offbeat things, but nothing of any sort of prominence. And I think one of them has passed away at this point.
Okay.
So I can't imagine there's going to be anything else coming out. You know, you a couple of weeks ago, you talked about Do I Hear a Waltz? And then Stephen Sondheim going, you know, Do I Hear a Waltz is a why musical.
Right.
You know, why?
What does it add? Like,
what
how
does
it
add? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said the same thing about Raisin, which is, what does it add? I actually think it adds a lot. And I think you get a lot more time with these characters and to really understand the emotional journey that they're going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. So that's my That's my pick. Raisin.
Raisin and No Strings.
Raisin and No Strings, linked by Richard Rodgers.
I love it.
Yeah. So let us know if you listen to those. Let us know what you think. I am Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And this
see you next
was
time.
Our Favorite Things. Mittens. Take care. Bye.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.